And it's my privilege to invite Dave up this morning. He's one of my best mates, so it's brilliant to be able to introduce him. And I just want to completely endorse him to you this morning. You know, it's easy to look at Dave and think, he's a young man, he's full of energy, he's exciting, etc., etc. And all those things are true, but what you need to know is that he has had to sacrifice an awful lot, and he's paid a big cost to be where he is today and do what he's doing. He chases after God. He chases after God 100% with everything he does, with everything he says, with every part of his being. And he's a massive inspiration and challenge to me. But that has cost him. You know, don't sit there thinking, "Well, it's easy for you, Dave, because you've not got the things that I have to deal with." He's paid a big price to be here today. He's from a generation where not many of other people from his generation, A, are still Christians, B, are still in this church, and he's still here. He's still running with the vision of River Church, and because of that, he deserves your attention this morning. Let me pray for him. Father, I want to thank you for Dave. He's a man of you, and we're excited about his talk this morning. And I pray you'd give us all massive ears to hear him this morning, Lord Jesus. And I just pray you'd use his talk this morning to take us on a journey, that we would all walk with him, Lord. It would just be like a stroll down a beach, nice casual stroll down a beach, Lord Jesus, with Dave this morning. And that we'd all just feel part of it, and we'd just be, you know, it'd just be feel really natural and exciting, Lord Jesus. So, Father, I just pray for Dave, and just pray you bless him and bless his words, and, Lord, speak to us through him this morning. Amen.
Amen. Whoa. Morning, everyone.
Morning.
It's a pleasure to be here again amongst all my beautiful family. There's so many people in this room who I really love. I was just sitting around looking at the room, just sitting there looking around the room. I was just thinking, wow, that person's amazing. Wow, that person's amazing. I love what they're doing. I love that the fact that they're still pursuing the Lord after it's just so many knockbacks and so many just disappointments, and they're still hungry. And I just want to just really honor you and just say, just I love being part of this church. And I love so many people in this room. And it's good being a family together and running this thing called life together, isn't it? It's really cool. It's a really beautiful thing. And it's so random. You become friends with people that you'd never become friends with normally. And you hang out with people that you'd never hang out with normally. It's like the other day, me and Chloe went for breakfast at Ted Nan Piker's house. And it's like, what? You know, telling my friends that, it's like, yeah, I went to breakfast at like a 60-year-old couple, like house, and it's like, why'd you do that? Just hanging out. Just talking about stuff God's doing, you know. Anyway. You know, it's really simple, like the Christian walk. We've got basically two choices. The first is that we go after God and we get disappointed, we get disheartened, we get knockbacks, you know, that kind of thing. And we become hard and we become complacent and we back off and then you die. And that's how you run the race. The other way is that, you know, you choose to stay soft, your heart, I'm talking about, and you keep worshipping the Lord and going, and you run the race to the end. You choose to love to the end. It's pretty much that simple, really, isn't it? I think. And it gets harder. But I just want to just honour just so many people in this room who are, you're running the race, and you're running well to the end. Especially some of the people who are just, you know, over 70 in this room. I just want to just say, you're running so well. You're running so well. And I want to pray that you run hard, you run fast until the end, and that you finish well. And that we as the younger generation, we learn from you. We want to be like you. So base guys, you should look at some of these guys. You should learn from them. Church is a funny old thing, isn't it? I was looking around the worship and I was thinking, man, if God isn't real, we are absolutely nutters. We're just standing in this random little school hall playing some songs, raising our hands, putting hands down. It's crazy. We've got serious mental health problems. Like, we're seriously deluded if, like, God is not real. Ooh, let's hope he's not. Let's hope he is. But we've seen too much, haven't we? It's Godfrey Bertel's song, we've gone so far out, we can't go back. We've seen too many lives changed. We've seen too many healings. We've seen too many marriages fixed. We've just seen too many broken people fixed. You know, we've encountered him for ourselves, and you just, even though you can't sometimes put it into words, you know, kind of in your spirit, I've met the Lord. And there's no going back. You know what? I just want to have some ministry time right now. I wonder if heaven's going to be really ordered. We have the worship, then we have the notices, then we have a talk, and then we have ministry time. Do you think it'll be that ordered in heaven? I think it will. Let's put our hands out. Let's welcome the Lord. That was great worship, by the way. That was beautiful. Oh, Lord. Shakaraba Sanda. We love you so much, Holy Spirit. And we welcome you. Oh, Sorabiaraba Sanda. We welcome you, Lord. We welcome your presence. We turn our affections in our heart towards you now. Before the meeting, I was praying, and I just got this picture of just rivers of just water just coming washing through the building. And it just came wave after wave and wave after wave. And then from that, just trees started to spring up and life started to spring up and fruit started to appear on dry trees. And I just feel like just the Lord wants to come with his rivers of refreshment this morning and just refresh us. So Lord, we welcome your spirit. We welcome your rivers of love. We welcome your rivers of life. We love you, Lord. You're absolutely wonderful. So karabiarabiarabiara. Just hear the words of your Father just speak to you right now. He says, keep running. Keep going. I'm proud of you. Stay strong. Don't give up. I love you. I'm not distant, I'm near. You have what it takes. You're lovely. You know, Jesus says, my sheep will know my voice. I don't actually want to do a talk this morning. I kind of feel a bit reluctant. I just love the presence of the Lord. And I don't like the shift from, you know, participation to observation. It's like we're all just there, and it becomes this thing of, I know it's good, but I don't know. Part of me is reluctant to even talk. This morning, I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit, and just some of the things, just some of my thoughts, really. I understand that you're doing a series on finding your voice, and I think this developing a relationship with the Holy Spirit and increasing in your walk with the Holy Spirit is really key to that. In Luke 4, Jesus has his little self-commissioning time. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to what? To preach the gospel to the poor. So finding our voice, there's a direct link between it. It's not just the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to perform miracles. It's actually the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, so he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. If we turn to Acts 2, verse 17, Holy Spirit comes, you know, wipes out everyone, basically. Verse 17, and it shall be, and then Peter stands up, says, oh, everyone's not drunk. Verse 17 says, says, this is what Joel, the prophet, was talking about. This is in these last days. God says, I will pour forth my spirit on all of mankind. So where none of us are outside of the realm of like, the Holy Spirit. Everyone's got access because it's all. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And it's like, Holy Spirit comes, prophesy. Holy Spirit comes, you find a voice. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel. And if we also just turn to 1 Samuel 16, I just want to give a couple more Bible verses to kind of make this point, really. David is anointed by the prophet Samuel. And so, verse 13 of chapter 16. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And then as it goes down after that, it then lists basically some of the anointings which rest upon David following that anointing of the Spirit from Samuel. Verse 17. So Saul said to his servants, provide for me now a man who can play well and bring him to me. Then one of the young men said, behold, I've seen the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is a skillful musician, a mighty man of valor, a warrior, and one who is prudent in speech. A handsome man, and the Lord is with him. He becomes prudent in speech. And handsome, I think that's just about us becoming attractive to the world. Holy Spirit comes upon us, we become attractive to the world. It's like Jesus, he grew in favor with God and also man. And so the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we gain a voice, but we also become attractive to those around us. People want to be around us. They want to hear what we've got to say. We're good company. And then throughout the Old Testament as well, you know, there's loads of people who are scared to speak, you know, like Moses, and there's the Jeremiah commissioning, chapter 1. The Lord just says, I'm with you. I'm with you. Speak. Say what I'm telling you to say. I'm with you. And it's the same for us. In fact, it's better for us because we're now in the new covenant, not old covenant. So now it's no longer I'm with you. It's I'm in you. And I'm on you. And I'm in you for your sake, but I'm on you for the sake of others. That doesn't make sense, does it? Okay, it does. So the Holy Spirit's in us for our sake, for the sake of kind of transformation, holiness, revelation, courage, things like that. But the anointing comes upon us for the sake of others. And so I'd like to talk about just a little bit about our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And if we're going to find a voice as a congregation, we really just need to become a people of the Spirit. And I just want to it's probably one of my favorite topics is the person of the Holy Spirit. I love the Holy Spirit so much. And because we have this kind of idea, it's kind of like this spirit member of the Godhead. And he's, you know, he can be grieved. But he sometimes makes people do freaky things. And some people are filled with the Spirit and they're normal. But other people are like, oh, I want more of the Spirit. How do you get more of the Spirit? And, you know, if the Holy Spirit's doing that, why isn't he doing it here? And there's so many confusing things. And I just kind of just want to talk a bit about my thoughts, really. But I think we need a kind of a greater vocabulary, I think, on one level for the things of the Spirit. Because, you know, Jesus is led into the desert filled with the Holy Spirit, and he's led by the Spirit, but he comes out of the desert in the power of the Spirit. And it's like, well, I'm filled with the Spirit, so does that person have more of the Spirit of me? Like, because they're more anointed? What is anointing? You know? Have they got more Holy Spirit than me? Well, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. How have they got more of the Holy Spirit? But if Jesus increased, because he increased in favor with God, and clearly there was an increase as well, you know, goes in full of the Holy Spirit, comes out in the power of the Holy Spirit, then surely there's some dynamics in which we kind of need to just get our heads around, really. Actually, let's talk about Nepal. So I've just got back from Nepal, everyone. And it was a really good time. We did a youth conference out in Jiri with about 350 kind of young people. And we did it on the theme of When Heaven Invades Earth. And that was really cool. You know, some people just travel for days to be there. And we also did a couple of one-day conferences in the churches. We went around and we modeled something out there which isn't kind of common in the churches, which is the young people kind of praying and prophesying and just, you know, Holy Spirit stuff isn't really that common out there. You know, there's quite a lot of religion and keenness and things like that, and they're fantastic. But and the church has grown through signs and wonders because they've been modeled that from the beginning. But there's no kind of understanding of necessarily gifts of the Spirit and how to operate in the Spirit. So there's very little prophecy and there's very little time for ministry, things like that. They just like, have a prayer and get it, you know, that's it, that's the end of the meeting. But yeah, the church has grown out there through, they just go into a village and they'll just say, you know, bring the sick, and they'll pray for the sick, and then a church springs up because they've been modeled that from the beginning. It's really cool. And it's exciting to be somewhere which was, you know, which is really, really early. You know, 15 years ago, in that kind of Himalayan region, there was no churches, and now there's over 200 in that network, which is just fantastic. It's like God's on the move, and we just get to be part, go out there and just join our brothers and sisters, and just, it was a good time. And at the youth conference, we did, you know, a lot of kind of ministry and things like that, and I did like one session on the Holy Spirit, and just afterwards, there's just bodies everywhere, and they weren't courtesy falls either. So one guy, I just put my hand on him and he literally did timber, but face first. And I was around the back, ready for him to fall backwards. And he just had his hands by his side and it just went, boom, like that. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm really sorry. But then, you know, just everywhere, you know, people kind of going into kind of trance-like visions for ages and coming out and having seen these fires and just like testifying of how they encountered the Lord for the first time ever. And you know, just I looked around, there was like this little kid on the floor who's just laid out and he's just crying his eyes out, just having this amazing encounter with Jesus, just like with a big smile on his face, just weeping, and he's just down there for ages. And just the Lord was really moving. And it was just, that was really cool. It was really, really cool. So yeah, it was a good time. It's a good time. Chris, you came with us. Woo! Do you want to say anything? Come on.
Hey, I think one of the really cool things when we were out there was it was really encouraging because all the young people, they hadn't really experienced all the kind of prophecy and Holy Spirit, but they were all really, really hungry for it. They just wanted it so much, and they kept coming back and asking us to pray over and over again to give them the gift of prophecy and stuff like that. And yeah, just thought that was cool.
You did really well as well. And it was really cool. We had this pastor's son who was a leader in one of the churches, and he came with us out to Jiri, which is a 10-hour bus ride. And he'd never prophesied or prayed in tongues or anything like that. And by the end of it, he was prophesying over everyone. You know, he came in the bus, he didn't know what he was ready for, and was praying in tongues. It was amazing. Because it was cool as well, because you just know that it's going to be replicated because he's a leader. Prabal. Yeah. Oh, and Pete, your microfinance stuff is amazing. It is fantastic. It is. Pete Hopkinson is involved in this microfinance stuff. For people who, if anyone doesn't know, it's absolutely phenomenal. And there's some amazing stories of just, it's just the holistic gospel. It's just changing stuff out there. There's one story of this lady who started a felt business a couple of years ago. And she now, so she gets a microfinance loan, and her business just takes off. And now she employs around 30 women, and that the felt business now is helping to fund the orphanage which the church runs. And you just see the way it all works together. It's such an important piece of the thing. Well done. It's amazing. Good boy. So Bill Johnson says this thing, which is that he told the story of a lady in his church who's saying, "Lord, I just really want more of you, Holy Spirit. I want to get to know you." And she'd go places, and a dove would come and just follow her around. And her dove would just come and sit on a windowsill now and again. And Bill said this thing. He said, if a dove came and landed on your shoulder, and you wanted it to come and land on your shoulder, and you want it to stay on your shoulder, you would take every step with the dove in mind. And so I was thinking about that, and I kind of taken it one step further, which is that if you want a dove to come and land on your shoulder, in the natural, what would you do? You'd build a little nest, maybe put some bird seed, put some cotton wool buds, you know. Just make it comfy. It's a nest and it's comfy. Oh yeah, you don't want the buds, you want the balls. Yeah, yeah. Come on, do a good preach, Dave, come on. You'd create an environment in which the dove wanted to come and rest. And then you take every step with the dove in mind. And I'd like to say that it's the same with the Holy Spirit. If we want the Spirit of the Lord, we're temples of the Holy Spirit, right? We want the Spirit of the Lord to come and rest upon us. We create an environment which is welcoming to the person of the Holy Spirit. So it's faithful in the small things. It's thankfulness. It's choosing to speak well of people. It's choosing to love. It's obedience. It's holiness. It's generosity. It's peace. It's choosing to make just choices, righteous choices, to be merciful. Create an environment of prayer and worship. We create an environment which in ourselves should encourage the Holy Spirit. And then we walk every step with a dove in mind.
Please pause the recording, watch the associated video, and then come back to this recording. Thank you.
I find in my own life, Jesus doesn't pray for the sick, he says heal the sick. It's completely impossible. But the whole Christian life is impossible. It's impossible to live without sin. It's impossible to love your enemies. You cannot do it. The whole Christian life is impossible. But it only becomes possible when you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And it's your outworking with the person of the Holy Spirit, your outworking life with that person, that makes the impossible possible. It's impossible to run this race and finish well. It's impossible to have an effective voice in society without the person of the Holy Spirit. And we are to cultivate lives of relationship with the Holy Spirit. Oh, by the way, David Oliver, before the meeting, I saw a picture of you, and I just want to say to you that you're a man of God. You're a man of God. And the Lord, from the very beginning, from the Garden of Eden, he was with Adam. He was in right relationship with the Holy Spirit. He was to go and subdue the earth. He was to go and extend the government of Eden, which is heaven on earth, and subdue it. And make it come under that reign, if that makes sense. It came out of relationship with the Lord. That relationship was broken. Now that relationship's restored through the blood of Jesus and through the cross. We have the person of the Holy Spirit. And so we are to go and bring heaven to earth in all areas of society, where there's brokenness, where there's injustice, you know, etc., etc., etc. Heaven's standard is now our standard. Where there's poverty, we are to bring prosperity. But we can only do it through relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit. In John 15, you know, and John 14, and also throughout the Gospels, Jesus kind of basically says some crazy things. He's like, you know, you can ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. He says there are no limits in the kingdom. And he says those things a few times. But he said, in John 14, and Jesus says, you'll do greater things than I. He says it in the context. He says, you abide in me. John 15, read it, most people should know John 15, but you don't, read it when you get home. It says, abide in me, cultivate relationship with me, and fruit happens. So in my own relationship with the Lord, I feel like I'm most fruitfulness, I see most miracles, I see most young people getting set on fire for Jesus, I see most just good stuff happening things that would like normally be really complicated and just take, you know, just be completely stressful and just, oh, this is kind of all-consuming, and they just kind of slip into alignment, and they kind of just happen, and there's just less hassle. I just find that just the most good stuff happens when I'm in a good place with the Lord, and when I'm aggressively carving out time in my diary to spend time with the Lord. And for every single one of us, that's completely different, because, you know, with kids and work and everything like that, we need to find what works for us, but we need to find ways when we can just spend time with Jesus. And we just like listen to worship music and read our Bibles and just hear the word of the Lord. And we cultivate an environment within us of just intimacy with him, and stuff happens. You know, mystical theologians say that there's kind of basically, if you were going to divide it up, there'd be four stages to inner prayer. And I find it quite a helpful illustration, a helpful framework in understanding kind of my own experience with the Lord. Which is the first they call is the prayer of reconciliation, which is basically just kind of basic, oh, you know, hi, Lord, you're getting over the fact that you haven't prayed for, you know, a week or whatever, you haven't read your Bible for ages. And it's like, and you just connect with the Lord, and the Lord's like, yeah, I love you. And you're like, yeah, I love you too. And you just, it's kind of basic connection with the Lord. You know what I mean? Please nod if you know what I mean. It's, but then most people, or not most people, some people kind of think that's it. But then the next stage is called the prayer of inner quiet, which is basically when you get past, you know, your own, you know, dealings with the Lord, praying for people, getting past your worries and things like that, and you enter into the realm of visions. And then you begin to see things in the spirit. You think the Lord begins to reveal things. Oh, I'm doing this here, or I've got a word with this person here, and you just kind of begin to see stuff. And then, you know, that's kind of like the realm of obviously the prophetic, and a lot of people operate in that. And they kind of think, oh yeah, that's it. But then after that, there's what's called the prayer of union, which is you've had reconciliation. You've kind of, you know, you've dabbled a bit in kind of like the realm of the prophetic and things like that. And then just the fact that you just completely become aware that your spirit is connected to the spirit of the God of the universe. And you have access to his heart, and he has access to your heart. And you just get completely lost in love. And nothing else matters. And you just get lost. You just get away with the fairies. And you know, that kind of you begin to access it in worship. You begin to understand how, like the Spirit, how to just connect with the Lord, you know, in the Spirit, in worship. That's what I think. You kind of get a glimpse of it. But I think often because of the time, the like restrictions and stuff, you kind of get pulled back out just into normality. And after that, is the realm of ecstasy, which is very close to union. But that's when you kind of union, you could just kind of snap out. Ecstasy is when you hit, is basically, I think, is a sovereign thing, when you hear of people just going up and just kind of losing all sense of control and just being just away, just having an encounter with the Lord. The reason I say that is just to encourage you just to press in. It's just to And not to, I don't think, oh, where am I now? Because I'm not even sure what I think about it generally. But just to think, I want to go deeper. I want to go deeper with you. And when you're just kind of in worship or you're in prayer, and the Lord begins to show you some things, you know, so some of you may have been connecting with Jesus when Linda did that thing, which is great, go where God is. And you might have kind of felt the sense of like the presence of Jesus. And Jesus might have been saying some stuff. And then you kind of, you go, okay, that's cool, and you pull away. But just to encourage you to press in and to see where this goes. I'd say probably like that ecstatic realm. One famous story about it would be Heidi Baker's story. I wasn't with Heidi Baker. I was at this conference with Heidi Baker was talking about it that Kristen spoke at, and her and Roland were missionaries in Africa for a couple of years. They're missionaries before that in China. And nothing happened. They'd worked their socks off and were completely burnt out and completely knackered. They'd seen a couple of churches spring up, but they weren't doing very well. And they were just completely drained. They go to Toronto, and they just, in just complete desperation for the Lord, Heidi gets whacked and basically is down in the spirit for 5 days solid. She had to be given food. Roland had to take her to the toilet. And she said, basically, she said she could have, if she really wanted to, just gone about normal life. But she didn't want to stop the Lord She didn't want to stop the fact that she was a dwelling place, and that for her just surpassed everything else. Post-Toronto, they've seen 5,000 churches planted in the nation of Mozambique. They see on average a dead person raised every month. So, in conclusion, after my decidedly la 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 word of the day, sorry everyone, we've got to be hungry for the person of the Holy Spirit. And I just want to read something from Ezekiel 47, which I was reading last week. So Ezekiel spends ages describing how the temple should look. It's this really intricate, just beautiful building, and there's so much detail. And then he brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house towards the east, for the house faced east. And the water was flowing down from under the right-hand side of, down the right-hand side of the house from the south side of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate by way of the gate that faces east. And behold, water was trickling from the south side. Now we corporately are now the house of the Lord, the temple of the Holy Spirit. But we also, as individually, we are temples of the Holy Spirit and a house of the Lord. What is flowing from it? Water. When the man went out towards the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water, reaching to his ankles. Then he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it reached to my knees. And again he measured 1,000 and it led me through the water, reaching the loins. And again he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not ford, for the water had risen enough water to swim in, and a river that could not be forded. And he said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he brought me back to the bank of the river, and it goes on. And then he said to me, "These waters go out towards the eastern region, go down to the Arabia, and then they go towards the sea, being made to flow to the sea, and the waters of the sea become fresh. It will come about that every living creature which swarms in every place where the river goes will live. And there will be very many fish, for the waters go there and the others become fresh. So everything will live there where the river goes." Where the river goes, there is life, guys. "By the river, on its bank, on one side and on the other, will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They will bear every month because water flows from the sanctuary, and their fruit will not be for food and their leaves for healing. Oh, sorry, their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing." So from the temple, from the house, flows a river. And where the river goes, there is life. And in the river, the corporate river, we have a choice. We can go ankle deep, we can go knee deep, we can go loin deep, or we can go in over our heads, where we lose control, and we lose our dignity, potentially, not necessarily. So I believe that one of the key things to us finding a voice, a really, really effective voice in the nation, in our spheres of society, is corporately and individually, we need to cry out to God for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Not that the river is not already pouring out, but for more. You know, it says, in the days of rain, pray for rain. It's like, yeah, God, you're raining, but we're hungry for more. In my own life, you know, I've seen, and I'm sure it's the same for many here, you have seasons of real anointing, seasons of dryness, but I'm hungry for more. I'm so hungry for more. And so how do we get breakthrough? How do we go from glory to glory in this? Because it should always be increase. The increase of government, there is no end. I think desperation, impartation, declaration, prayer, worship, fasting, and relationship with the Lord himself. In my marriage, my love for my wife and my wife's love for me increases when we do loving things towards each other. When I choose to spend time with Chloe, our love increases. When I choose to give gifts to Chloe, when I choose to speak well of Chloe, our love increases. You know, the world has this idea of, oh, I just fall in love and I've fallen out of love. It doesn't work that way. You choose, relationship follows. And I think exactly the same with the Lord, because we're made in his image. Our relationship with the Lord. We want love to increase, we want the river to increase, then we choose to press in. So, hey, who wants some more of the Holy Spirit? Who wants a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit? Please stand, if you do. You don't have to stand. Sorry? People can go and get their kids if they want. If you, you know what, let's just start crying out to God. Let's just, if you can pray in tongues, pray in tongues. Just put the hand on the person, the shoulder of the person next to you. Just pray for the person next to you. Father, we worship you. You are absolutely wonderful. Holy Spirit, we just pray. We pray that you come. We pray that you fill us afresh, Lord. We never want to be dry, Lord. We never want to plateau, Lord. We're desperate to be fruitful, Father. We recognize we've got one shot at this life and we want to live it effectively, Lord. So we just pray, fill us up, Lord. Fill us with your life. Fill us with your courage. Fill us with your refreshment. Father, I thank you that you're in us, but I want you to be on us, Lord. Whoa. And now just wait. And just welcome his presence. And some of you will begin to feel like heat on you or tingling, or the atmosphere will feel heavier. You know, it will feel heavier on you as you put your hands out. Some of you just feel peaceful. Shukarabayarabiyarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabayarabay